Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And what a blessing it is to come on this Shabbat Friday as we head into the weekend. As usual, have a lot to cover. But I want to point some things out today that give us hopefully can give us a peaceful mind heading not only to this weekend, but into the season ahead as we get closer towards the coming midterms. Even with all the news scenarios popping out about this, that, and the other, we want to stay focused on what the Lord is doing in this season. And with that, dive off into scripture and this moment we have to reorder our day in getting in alignment with what the Lord would, number one, what is to do with the time that we have, but also to see the spiritual and even some of the natural and physical things that the opportunities he has for us now and in the season ahead, in being able to be a voice for the kingdom and being able to walk out those kingdom principles, not only in our family life, but in the community and neighborhoods that we are at, so that people can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit that is within us and walking with us as well. So first, I want to dive into the scripture. And the scripture passage I want to talk about is Genesis 22, where Isaac is going back into Isaac is going back into the land of Israel and redigging the wells of Abraham and his forefathers. And as we see throughout the scripture passage, talking about how Isaac settles in Gerar in Genesis 26, he's dealing with the Philistines and King Abimelech. And everywhere he goes, he's redigging these wells, And then at the end of the verse, end of the chapter, in verse 31, we see that we see that, again, this in the morning, the Lord is showing us here through scripture, in the morning, they arose, Isaac and Abimelech, early, and they exchanged oaths. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from this place. But if we go back in before that verse, we see where in verse 28, Isaac says to them, "Why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you from the other places that they've dug wells?" And they said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you." So we said, "Let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us. Let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm." Like, they're afraid that Isaac will do them harm, just as we have not touched you and have not done have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. And so you are now the blessed of the Lord. Then they had a feast. They got together. They made oaths, they exchanges in the morning. So it's interesting to see these things happening in these time watches, these early morning time watches that the Lord has for us. And then it talks about, now it came about in the same day that the servants came in and told him about the well which they have dug, which is Beersheba. And the focus here that Chuck is talking about is, you know, during this watch, ask the Lord to help redig these wells of revival from your past that you that the Lord has promised you. And then also ask the Lord to bring you into the new place of this enlargement. So as we're entering into this new place of, okay, we want to know where we've been, know where we've come from, know the resources and the places we've been. But also, look, the Lord's talking about this enlargement, especially in this season for Isaac in Scripture, of taking back the land, of fulfilling the promises that were promised to Abraham. And even the Philistines will see it. Even those who are opposed and against us will see that the Lord blesses you in this season. And obviously throughout all this, Isaac and his servants redigging wells, the Philistines coming in, claiming that it was theirs, saying that it was theirs, stopping up the wells, after redigging it and everything. Isaac had peace and just they moved on and they found more. Even when the enemy tried to stop them, they just kept moving on and moving on and moving on. And God just kept enlarging and enlarging and enlarging and giving them the resources that they needed. Even back in that time, an agricultural time where a source of water was extremely, extremely important for them. So we see a biblical foundation and example for us in this season of everything that's going on. And with that, I want to dive into stories coming out today. So again, the main focus this week has been about Ukraine and Russia, and I want to continue on that because depending on where we're getting information from, depending on who's talking, things are completely up in the air. And now President Biden came out and has said that not on Wednesday, which he got wrong, but that Russia will supposedly be attacking Ukraine in the next several days. And there's some things that are happening that show that may happen and that may not happen. It's a best guess from the military. And really, he's getting this information from the military. And what we've come to find out is that now, based upon data on the ground, the Russian forces, and this is from U.S. mission to the OSCE, that is a government website, showing that Russia has now amassed upwards of 169 to 190,000 personnel during the Ukrainian border, all along the eastern border of Ukraine, even down in Crimea, even after claims that Russia has, pulled troops back, quote unquote. That's completely up in the air. Now, there's a reason why some of this stuff has happened. I'll get to that here in a second. But the Kremlin is saying, continuing to say, again, this goes to the fact of depending on who you're listening to, the Kremlin says troops are ultimately pulling back. Oh, it takes time, etc. They know how to play the game with the media. And then also, at the same time, all this is going on, something to watch out this weekend is that Russia is, along the eastern border of Ukraine, going to start staging drills with Ukraine amongst all this tension talks and its nuclear drills. They're going to be testing things. And Putin even came out and said he's going to be there. He wants to show the might of the Russian military and its weapons. And it's kind of a Cold War strategy playing out. Just say, hey, look, this is what we have. This is what's at risk. For what purpose? To agitate? To cause more fear? And if Biden's saying, oh, they're going to invade any day now, as the military keeps saying, Lloyd Austin said that as well. All Russia has to do is not do anything, and they look like the calm ones. And our administration looks like the ones who are walking out in fear. And so there's a lot going on. Also, the news came out that Russia has expelled the second highest ranking U.S. diplomat from Moscow, Bart Gorman. And so there's some political games being played there, not necessarily really giving a specific reason. And then also along the northeastern border in Ukraine, there has been attack on school-age children from real Russian-backed independent fighters, which NATO and allied forces realize might be a ploy to try to drag everyone into a potential war and a conflict. It could just be some independent fighters upset, causing some disruptions because they're paid to or not, because they have some angst against it. The information is not really fully out on that, but that stuff is happening. So I lay the groundwork for all of that. Of, okay, here's kind of the update to what's happened in the last 24 hours. Knowing that Russia could invade because their troops are there and they're massing up, despite them saying we're pulling back. But also, Russia just has to sit back and wait. I mean, they could be just toying with the West, NATO and U.S. forces, or they could be seriously getting ready. You really don't know, other than the fact that what is known is that Russia and Putin does want to take back the former Soviet bloc. So there's that threat is there, but how real is it? You don't know. That's why we need wisdom and pray for our leaders. As I talked about yesterday, Vice President Harris was headed to Munich and is now in Munich. And over the weekend, she is expected to meet with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. And what they're saying is she's going to be intensively in meetings and et cetera, et cetera. So we need to pray for her and her team to have some fear of the Lord and some wisdom involved in these negotiations and these talks. Even as Secretary of State Blinken, who was supposed to be there as well, but ended up going to a UN conference in New York, and really put some things out on the line of asking Russia to publicly proclaim, we're not going to invade Ukraine, we don't want to start a war. And it's kind of a smart strategy, but really meant nothing at the end of the day, because we're dealing with boots on the ground here, and Russia is toying with the West, NATO forces and the U.S., to see what happens. So we need to continue to pray for this administration, for Vice President Harris, for Secretary of State Blinken, for Biden and the White House and the administration, because they need wisdom. Obviously, there are some scenarios and things that they've done in the past that have allowed some of these things to happen, with pulling back sanctions, with pulling the embassy back, which show utter fear. And again, there's been evidence to show that those involved with National Security Council in that office, Jake Sullivan more specifically, who have a problem of vetting relevant information and seeing if it is true or not. So there is that, which is playing out right now, and saying that they're gonna go on this day, on Wednesday, and they don't, is a cry to wolf. Now the U.S. and more so the Biden administration has lost credibility when it says, "Oh, they're gonna invade." It could be the Lord allowing them to be exposed, but still, there needs to be wisdom involved, and with Ukraine, and because Ukraine needs a seat at the table. That's all they're asking for, and that's what a lot of this is about with Russia, is preventing Ukraine from getting involved in NATO and even Poland and other countries as well. So that's where we're at with the Russian issue. And yesterday, we have seen now that the Senate has officially passed the short-term spending bill to fund the government until March 11th. In that, basically, was a continuing resolution in hopes that they can provide a full the rest of the year till October, really, before President Biden puts out his financial fiscal year 2023 budget, which he is still yet to do, put together on some of the things he wants put forward. The vote yesterday went forward on a 65-27 vote. And in all of this, there were several amendments that were put forward by Senator Cruz and Senator Mike Lee about removing the funding and preventing funding for the mask mandate, COVID vaccine mandate, in-person testing and participation in schools who were involved in that, and to pull that money back. As the Supreme Court showed, it is highly unconstitutional for the White House to do such things, and they failed to pass them because four senators, Republican senators, refused to show up and actually sit in on the vote. Chuck Schumer put in a threshold of a simple majority, basically 51 vote. And if Senators Mitt Romney, as you see pictured here, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, and Richard Burr of North Carolina showed up and voted along lines, they could have added this in and pulled this back. Now, that might have caused the other overall bill to not get voted through, so they might have wanted to prevent that. They want the government to be funded because they're about to go on recess and have a week off and et cetera and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And we talked about how we need to pray for the senators who are involved in these issues to have wisdom and the fear of the Lord on these issues, because we're at $30 trillion and counting in our national debt, and somebody needs to do something about it. So we want to, number one, intercede for senators to have the wisdom and revelation for the Lord when voting on these funding issues. And these guys just didn't even show up and even offer a vote. They could have voted no. Obviously, they don't want to go on the record, so they didn't show up for whatever reason. This bill was put forward yesterday, or this amendment, excuse me, was put forward yesterday. So it was kind of a late add. But things like this have happened before, and it's failed. But on this issue, they had a chance to vote, and they didn't. So take notice of that. And then also, there's some other court cases involved that we want to pray for, that we talked about in the legal authority being challenged of the Biden administration of putting on vax mandates and mask mandates and testing mandates on federal employees. Pray for those golden court issues there. And ultimately, like we talked about yesterday with the Texas case, of removing the federal overreach of the masking mandates on the transportation. So want to pray for those there. And then so there's now on another funding issue is we're seeing coming out of the Senate now the potential to block stock trading for politicians who are in office. Nancy Pelosi has been okay with, quote unquote. And it's being pushed by Elizabeth Warren. But what has now come out is people who have actually read the bill and looked at it have said that this bill that Elizabeth Warren is pushing is actually a bad bill, because what it will actually do is allow anybody currently in office who has individual stocks that meet the criteria that they want to try to stop banning and trading, which, okay, looks like a good thing. It's a moral win. But on the back end, behind closed doors, what the bill actually allows is for them to not have to be forced to sell off their assets while they're still alive. And even if they do sell them off, then they have to pay capital gains tax. But if they don't sell them off, then they move them into different vehicles. And if they die, then nobody has to pay. Them or their family doesn't have to pay a capital gains tax. So basically no inheritance tax, no capital gains tax, and it just passes on to their children, which for some of the investments that people have is millions and millions of dollars. And so this would be even more advantageous than making money on an investment. And you can read the New York Post article. It lays it out pretty well. And there's some people who are like, well, we don't want to prevent people from being hurt by being wealthy before they come into office. And that's not the issue at play here. The issue at play is that people are becoming wealthy while in office because they have insider information and are using it to trade. Coincident. And it's Democrat and Republicans alike. it's not just, oh, Democrats are, they're Republicans who are doing the exact same thing that Nancy Pelosi's husband does, and et cetera. And so this is why you start to see, okay, now the information comes out, you're starting to see why Nancy Pelosi would be okay with it. Because, okay, I may be prevented from selling individual stocks and so might my family, but if I can get this put into place and go forward with it. Number one, it looks like I'm doing the right thing. Because yeah, we don't want any individual representatives or senators to be able to buy or sell trade stocks while they're in office or their family members. But at the same time, because I'm in office and I'm writing this bill, then because I've made money off of this, then I don't have to pay capital gains tax and it can go on as an inheritance to my children, and neither do they. So this is you're starting to see the revelations of the truth coming out, which is why we want to pray for wisdom and revelation for these senators and everyone involved voting for this stuff. There's also another bill that's actually quite interesting from John Ossoff out of Georgia that it's down at the bottom. It's another bill looking to ban stock trading by John Ossoff of Georgia and Mark Kelly of Arizona. Both Democrats would give lawmakers the option of putting their assets into a blind trust rather than selling them altogether. The bill does not mention capital gains deferrals for lawmakers who sell their stocks, and Ossoff's office did not answer. So basically what it would do is it would allow them, if they have assets, to put it into blind trust, and basically they have no control over it, not to be able to touch it. In reality, you would want to, in the bill, say you can't move this money. You have to let it sit there, or you completely sell it off and have to pay capital gains tax. That we want to protect people from making – look, when you sign up for being a representative, you're here to serve the people. And if there's anything that would cause a conflict of interest, that needs to be cleared. President Trump had to do that before he entered office. He had to cut ties with this company, have no aspects and no say in it. And if he did, and if he were to have gotten caught doing something, it would have been a huge conflict of interest and a red flag. Same thing goes for everybody else. And there is nothing for anybody, for the other representatives lower down the line, those within the administration, et cetera, to be able to prevent them from doing such things. They say there are, but there's avenues for them to get around it. So is coming out, and as they're trying to figure out how to do this with red flags coming up and even people preventing and stopping some things from happening with Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, John Ossoff. And this is where both sides need to come together and figure this out. You know, you have Republicans screaming, we need to do this. Democrats putting something forward, knowing that there's a way around this stuff. So it's a lot of information that's out there on this, but it's going to take time to resolve these issues. So even though Nancy Pelosi looks like, yay, I'm doing the right thing, but in reality, not really. And then last thing, it's a ray of hope a little bit. So in Proverbs, it talks about how without a plan, the people perish. And it's been a knock on the GOP and Republicans for not having a plan for decades about what they stand for, about presenting agendas of saying, hey, we stand for this, we want to do this economically and other areas, and Democrats have. And if you've seen something, you've seen them gain interest because they're putting forward a plan. Now, there's a host of other reasons. I get that. I understand that. But there's a plan that's been put forward. And now, finally, we're seeing from the House members, Kevin McCarthy, Elisa Stefaniak, and Mike Johnson out of Louisiana, they're putting together a plan to show the American people, their party, non-party members, not people, non-voters, what they stand for and what they want to actually do. And this is a great way to communicate and get involved with your communities and asking and seeing what they want. And obviously there's going to be some politicking of making sure the message is perfectly correct to tickle the ears of the people to hopefully get them to vote. But it's a step in the right direction, because it's a complete contradiction of what's happened in the past of having no plan, which is what McConnell's doing right now of, no, we're not going to put a plan forward until after we get, you have to vote us in office and then we'll tell you what we want to do. And you wonder why people don't want to do vote with you, go forward with you. They make their own assumptions about what they want to do. So what's happening now, and this report's coming from the Hill, this is very much true. I've heard Mike Johnson actually speak about this in person in meetings and in a town hall type setting with constituents in Louisiana when I was there for a couple months. He talked about how this was coming. Basically what they're doing is they're getting committees together, people who are quote-unquote specialists in certain areas, and they're talking about things and coming up with a plan and putting forward. And the plan deals with issues around messaging to get ready for the town halls and stuff, et cetera, about I'm trying to figure out where it was. Dealing with obviously inflation, what's going on now, big tech. Oh, here it is, border security and national debt. And it goes into other areas as well, protected from COVID protocols, protecting gun rights, a host of other issues. And the goal is to have it out ready before the midterms and stuff so people can start talking about it. Will it be perfect? No, I'm not going to sit here and say that it will. But it's a step in the right direction of saying you're providing a plan for the people to know what they're voting for, to hold representatives accountable when they do get in office. Democrats do this to an extent. And now it would be up to the people to say, okay, you say you're going to do these things, then do these things. And now it gets into, okay, now that you can see, if you can see what both parties actually stand for, because just remember back to the 2020 presidential election, the GOP put nothing forward. They just went with what Trump's agenda was, because Trump had a plan saying, we're going to do this. We're going to deal with economic issues. We're going to deal with China. We're going to deal with border security. We're going to deal with energy. And a lot of this stuff they're taking from that, which is not a bad thing, because there are a lot of things that were good, there were some bad. And so you want to work it out over time, but have something good to go forward and to sit down and have a conversation with somebody who may agree with you, may disagree with you, may not understand, may understand, and talking about how to deal with these things as leaders. And so this is, I tell about this story as this is a ray of hope for our leaders, and they need prayer. To deal with this stuff, because this does affect the entire nation. There are other strategies of things that they're talking about of fighting domestic crime, bolster the nation's infrastructure, which gets into a whole other issues, empowering parents when it comes to their children's education. And so there's a lot going back to energy independence, securing individual freedoms, countering China, reining in big tech companies, streamlining healthcare. Now, some of these stuff President Trump actually did, but got removed day one. Biden got in office. So these are things that you can now say, not just from President Trump is the only one saying it. You now, if you can have multiple leaders, and maybe Democrats start picking up some of this stuff, maybe the American public says, hey, this is what we want. We want politicians to do this, and if you don't do this, we're going to vote you out. As we still have the ability to be able to vote people in and out of office. Yes, there were some nefarious acts that happened, but we're seeing the American people rise up to deal with these issues. This information is coming out of the nefarious acts that are happening. We're starting to see reports of legal challenges to nefarious voting acts from certain counties in certain states. So this stuff is coming to the surface. We're as we know, even like Isaac and redigging these wells. Okay, you're redigging these wells. You're trying to establish a life source. Okay, the enemy comes back and buries it. You move on, and God continues to provide that enlargement in this season until eventually the Philistines broke and said, we want to make a treaty with you because we see that the Lord has blessed you. And so know that with everything that's going on, despite all what may seem like the end of the world sometimes, but at the end of the day, look, we're called for such a time as this to stand on the wall, pray for our families, our nation, and here on the pipeline for the office of the president, so that we can reach our goal and our destiny of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to the nation so that souls can be saved and have eternal destiny in heaven. So I close with that. Hopefully that's encouraging a little bit. It can seem meaty and hard, but this is where we're at in this country, and we need to stand up, have a plan going forward so that the people don't perish at the end of the day. And that's going to take wisdom and revelation from the Lord, laying down what ideas we think are correct, what ideas the politicians think are correct, and ultimately going with what the wisdom of the Lord is in this season and in the season ahead. And don't forget, we'll be back today at noon for our noon prayer to close out the week as we enter in to the end of February and providing a peaceful spiritual passing along a peaceful spirit to each and every one of you. So with that, blessings. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I will see you at noon or on Monday. We'll see. Have a good one.